Okay. I'm just going to just share a few announcements before Jerry comes. You know, so let me just quickly go through some announcements here. Just a reminder that the government restrictions are still in place, though this coming week they're going to be having an announcement, you know, that they're going to be hopefully loosening some of these restrictions. But until then, we still need to abide by the city bylaws of wearing a mask and social distance and sanitize our hands. So just keep that in mind. The majority of us are doing that, which is good. And so we're looking forward to a good announcement this coming week. Also, we're going to be having Oneg Shabbat today, so don't rush away after the service. We've started to introduce Onegs every week again, and so we welcome you to come and be part of that downstairs. We're just having just really a light nosh time together, so the focus of it is on a fellowship. We're also having an afternoon service this afternoon at 1:30, and we're in the process of evaluating the afternoon service, so we'll be addressing that this afternoon. Also, this coming Wednesday evening, we've started a short series by Dr. Michael Brown on answering Jewish objections to Yeshua. And that's really part of our vision as a Messianic community, is to know how to answer questions when people ask them. And specifically Jewish people, because they have a lot of unique questions. And so this is a series that we did a few years ago, but it's really an excellent teaching. And so you're able to come either in person or by Zoom. And also we have one little end time talks. You know, we showed one last week by Dalton Thomas and Joel Richardson. We'll be getting back into Revelation in January, but he's going to be speaking this coming week, just a short 10-minute little talk on five reasons why the vaccine is not the mark of the beast. You know, and so I know we probably all know that, but some people may not. But he puts it in its proper context as to when this mark of the beast will come. And so come and if you want to hear that, I think that you'll find that quite interesting. Also, on the bread ministry, you know, we're so grateful for Kawa's Bakery, who have been providing us with free bread for the last, I don't know, number of years. And we really appreciate everyone who does go and pick up the bread. And then to bring it here so we can package it and give it out on Shabbat. But there's one week in the month that we really need someone, a person or a couple, who are willing to come and commit themselves to once a month, second Wednesday of the month. We need someone that we can really count on. And so if you're able to help in that very important ministry, you know, speak to Sophie or to Jan. And they'll give you some instructions on that, because we do have this free gift that's given to us every week, and so we need to show some commitment on our part, which I do appreciate everyone who does come out every month and those who did come and package the bread. And then one final announcement, you know, a special thanks to everyone who gave a Hanukkah offering this past few weeks. We gave over $700 to Samaritan's Purse, who are going to be going to BC, and are going to be helping with some of the relief. And some of the people in our congregation have gone with them and are working together with Samaritan's Purse. In fact, the Prices have two of their sons, I believe, that are going to be going there as well. So that's exciting. And John and Beverly. And so there's a number who are going to help in that relief effort. Just because we don't hear too much on the news does not mean it's still not serious. Okay, so keep that in mind. And also, tithes and offerings will be greatly appreciated. We're coming to the end of the year, so if you want to give something extra, that would be great. We do have, we're going to, one couple of a praise report is Carlos. After a month, he's finally returned home from Mexico. But he's been 4 weeks in Mexico, and now he has to spend 2 weeks at home quarantining. So it's the good news and the bad and the not so good news. So keep them in prayer, and then also continue to pray for Brian Smith. Roberto has something he's going to share, but I was just not quite yet, Roberto. I just want to give Jerry, opportunity to come and speak first, and then we'll have Roberto come and share at the end about Brian Smith. All right. So Jerry, why don't you just come and just give the word for today?
Shabbat Shalom. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We must rejoice in the presence of the Lord every day because He is always with us. Like it or not, He is always near beside you. Amen. This week Torah portion is found in Genesis chapter 4, starting from verse 18 up to 45-47. So, Vayegas, meaning and He drew near. It relates how Judah, son of Israel, drew near for his disguised brother, Joseph, to intercede on behalf of his family. This parasha, it's open with a passionate exchange between Joseph and Judah, the two brothers with distinct personalities. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning with a grateful and a humble heart. Thank you for today that we could magnify and glorify your name. Father, give us an ear to hear and eyes to see your goodness and faithfulness. Give us a heart willing to serve you. Use your servant, Father, as your instrument. Ruach HaKodesh, be with us. We ask all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. One of my problems, every time I preach, I know how to start, but I don't know how to stop. That's the problem. That's why Rabbi don't like that to me. As we come to our passage this morning, let me provide some context to help us to understand where we are. We know that Joseph's brother had gone down to Egypt to buy grain, and they were fearful of meeting Joseph, whom they didn't realize it was their brother. When they went down there, he was very kind to them. He forgave them for having money put back on their sacks. This brings us after his banquet to where we are right now. But prior to this, I want to go back to chapter 37, where we see how Joseph turned his difficulties in life into opportunity. My message this morning, turning your difficulties in life into opportunity. We're going to see how Joseph responds to all difficulties in his life. Brothers and sisters, whether we are spiritual or not, there will come a time in our lives where stormy clouds will fall on the horizon, darkening the view of our destination, making us wonder whether we will survive. The blowing rain of the adversity, however, in every difficulty, we can always find opportunity. How do we respond when we're facing difficulties in life? Sometimes they are painful, right? Sometimes they're very surprising in sneaking up on us. But if we can respond rightly, we receive blessing. But if we respond badly, we suffer. Then we might find ourselves are paying big price when we do respond bad way. The truth is, in every difficulties or in every difficulty, there is an opportunity, but often we miss what God is up into our lives because we don't like difficulties. We don't like hardship. We want an easy life, right? Because when we think hardship, difficulties, we always think pain. We always think suffering. We always think sacrifice, disease. Now, with that being said, what are we willing to endure for the sake of our faith to Yeshua? How do we respond? How much are we able to trust God when circumstances come into our lives? In this passage of Scripture, the life of Joseph is a perfect example of the right kinds of response during the times of difficulties. For sure, you read already the book of Genesis, especially the story of Joseph. The story of Joseph is one of the best dramatic history in the Bible. So, as we focus, or instead of focusing on difficulties itself, he turned the situation around and looked for the possible opportunity in the midst of hardship. Listen, because later you should discern and you should know how come or why God brought you in this congregation. Amen? So, today in this modern materialistic world of generation, people just want an easy life, as I've mentioned a while ago. They want difficulties disappear right away, but they don't take time to see the opportunity that could result in the good of the situation. Is there a better way to benefit in the midst of painful process? Yes, there is. In Genesis 37, 1-7, we can read here and we learn how Joseph turned his difficulties in life into opportunity. You know what kinds of background he is. You know what kinds of family belong. In Genesis, let's say, when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak to him in shalom. In verse 5, then Joseph dreamed a dream and told his brother, and they hated him even more. Number one difficulty is that he experienced his brother. Joseph grew up in a family where his brothers hated him. He grew up in the family where his brother hated him. For Joseph, this happened when he was a teenager. He's growing up in a dysfunctional home with full of problems. He knew the bitter taste of adversity. However, each trial he encountered prepared him for God's ultimate purpose in his life. He was always accused of not being able to do right. He was always subject to ridicule and rejection. This was the kind of family he grew up. Joseph's brothers were always jealous with him, angry with him. As they saw their father's hands, especially when he make a coat for him, they become more angry. But You know how Joseph see that situation? Joseph told his brother about his dream. They were furious that one day they would all bow down to him. All the ships, many ships in the middle, all be bowed, then in mine will some straight. Then the way Joseph responded was shocking. You know what? Jesus responded humbly, and he took the opportunity to learn how to accept his situation where there is no love or encouragement toward one another. When his brother hate him, when his brother always jealous with him, see again something on him, Joseph responded humbly, shut his mouth. Number two, that difficulties comes in Joseph's life, found in Genesis 37, verse 18 to 20. Now they saw him from a distance. Before he was close to them, they plotted together against him in order to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes the master of dreams. Come on now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these pits so we can see that an evil animal devoured him. Then let's see what becomes his dream." Number two difficulties, they threw him in a pit and left him there to die. Remember, during that time, Joseph, maybe it might be 17 years old, it's too young. His father sent him over to Shechem to check on the brothers in the flock. And when they saw he was coming, his brother said, "Oh, here's our brother, the dreamer. Okay, come on. They think something bad to him, right? He was helpless when Joseph is in with them. They will put him, throw him to the pit. Joseph, he became helpless, hopeless. As they left, they put the blood of an animal on Joseph's garment and took it back to the father and said, "Poor Joseph has been killed by some animal." If you are in the shoes of Joseph, what is your first response? Of course, you get mad, you get angry. But let us see how Joseph responds. Well, naturally, he wanted to get out. He had to come to the conclusion they won't let him out. And so he had to take the opportunity. If he was going to survive this, how could there be an opportunity when they left him in a pit to die? But it reminds him about his dream. It reminds him about his dream. And it was happening in the period of time while he was in the pit, he learned something. You know what? And he found himself absolutely dependent upon God. Absolutely dependent upon God. Only God could get him out of his situation, because his brother is gone. They're done. They left him. So who can help him? But it says here, and he found himself absolutely dependent upon God. Only God could get him out of his situation, because he had the right attitude about it and took advantage of the opportunity to trust God in this helpless situation. What he didn't know, God prepared something for him. God rescued him. God would be there to rescue him no matter what. You see, oftentimes we forget that one crisis in our life is preparation to enabling us to go through something worse. But the truth is, how do we grow? We grow in believers' life by facing our trials after one another. Through all the trials, difficulties that we may encounter in life, it helps us to grow in our faith. What else that Joseph experienced in Genesis 37, verse 27-28? Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let's not lay our hands on him. Since he's our brother, our own flesh, his brothers listened to him. When some men, Midianites merchants, passed by, they dragged Joseph up and out of the pit, and they should sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph to Egypt. Third difficulty that he experienced, they sold him as a slave in Egypt. They decided to sell him as a slave in Egypt. Here he was going farther and farther away from his family in Canaan. It's hard to go to a place that you don't know anyone. It's hard to go a place that you don't know their language. You don't know everything. Even their culture, maybe Joseph doesn't know anything. So for him, he was absolutely foreign or totally foreign to them. But you know what? Jesus' response to these difficulties in life was, oh, I'm going to Egypt. I'm going to learn what Egypt is about. If I'm a slave, oh, I'm going to learn their language. I'm going to learn their ways. And I learn how to they operate. Yes, Joseph took advantage of the chance to learn about the Egyptian culture and language, trusting that God had purpose for allowing that hardship. Do you know the reason why God brought you in Bechikaina? Why are you here this morning? We are here to do the works of our Father, right? Rabbi cannot do this job by himself. He need hands. He need mouth. He need feet. God needs our pocket for the ministry, right? Joseph said, oh, I'm going to Egypt. It's interesting. I learned how to speak their language. He's not focused on being a slave. He's not thinking about that. Oh, I'm going to Egypt. I'm gonna be slave there. No. His thinking is that, oh, I'm going there because I know God had a purpose. Get something for me. In Genesis 39, verse 1, now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt. Potiphar, an official of Pharaoh, commander of the bodyguards, bought him from the hand of the Ishmaelites who brought him down there. You know the fourth difficulties that he had experienced? Joseph was sold to Potiphar, chief bodyguard. So he's totally slaves because he was already sold. Right? So when he got to Egypt, they put him on the block to be sold. Who would have known that the chief bodyguard of Pharaoh would have bought him? After Joseph was bought, Pharaoh's bodyguards put him in household. And Joseph had been learning a lot of things on his journey, where he could see himself either as slaves or view it's an opportunity. During the time that he was a slave, he could learn how the upper class in Egypt operated and lived. He could learn about their wealth. He could learn about how to function in another family. This is a family that saw him as a Hebrew servant because they thought that Hebrew of the Jews is a kind of lower kinds of person. They are too small because they are shepherd. Well, the Egyptian people, they're not. So that's why when Joseph was there, of course, he looked down himself that, well, these Egyptian people, they thought they look at me very small because we are only a shepherd. In its difficulties he faced, he saw as an opportunity to learn something new. How about us, brothers and sisters? In our difficulties, can we see something, an opportunity to learn something new? Maybe we are 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years in this congregation. Did you see the opportunity that God gave it to us? God will not bring us here just to sitting down, honestly, just to criticize. We are here to fill up the ministry that God wants us to do. How many souls that we bring in the presence of Yeshua since we become a believer? So through those difficulties that he encountered, Joseph became, or he was in charge in the palace of King Pharaoh. God once again was preparing him for something that was ahead. Every time he took advantage of the opportunity, he came out winning. It wasn't an accident that the captain of the bodyguard of Pharaoh happened to be the man that purchased him. So now he's in Potiphar's household and everything is going better than something happened. What else? Joseph, difficulties in his life. He served faithfully in the house of Potiphar. But you know what? He was accused by Potiphar's wife, according to Genesis 39:6-15. The next hardship in his life was when Potiphar's wife accused him. He knew that giving into temptation would mean being disloyal to Potiphar and unfaithful to God. He successfully resisted her, though it meant being thrown into prison. According to Genesis chapter 39, verse 6-15, we can see how Joseph turned these difficulties into opportunity. Yes, he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife that led him to be put into prison. But Joseph saw himself, this is an opportunity to discover more about himself rather than his weakness and his strength. During those kinds of hardship in his life, when a wife of Potiphar is trying to seduce him, he learned to depend, rely, and to ask God for his strength. So himself, I cannot do this. But he knows that God will help him. And he said to her, your husband has placed everything in this house and hold my position. He has given me serving in this household, but you, and I cannot prove to be unfaithful to God and disobey him. That hardship in his life was an awesome opportunity to discover his own strength, his own faithfulness, his own loyalty, his own devotion, no matter what the price would be. He knew there had been a price because, of course, he was accused by the wife of Potiphar. But Joseph demonstrated his allegiance, loyalty to God, superseded every other desires in his life. Joseph remained faithful to Yeshua. After he was accused, he was thrown into prison. And now that he was in prison, they put all the prisoners under his charge. Remember, he was grown up to a dysfunctional family. He was grown up. He don't feel love from his brothers and sisters. There's no proper training. There's no proper discipline. He cannot see those kinds of stuff. Now, he will put him to put in charge in the prison. That's why, how did Joseph find opportunity in this situation? You know what? He expressed genuine care to his fellow people in the prison. He learned to manage the prisoner, learned how to rule fairly because he was there, not because of something he had done, but because he was falsely accused. Have you ever been falsely accused of something? Yes. It's painful, right? It's painful. So how did Joseph respond? He responded, I believe, in caring way for these prisoners because his past crisis, he made it possible for him to respond in the right way. So I've said a while ago that if difficulties comes into our lives, if we respond it in the right way, we will succeed. But if we respond badly, we must suffer. Joseph, in every difficulties in his life, he responded rightly. That's why when he was in prison, there are two people, had a dream inside the prison. And that was the time that he led him into more successful person in his entire life. And remember, the two gentlemen who worked for Pharaoh, the baker and the cupbearer, both of them had the dreams. For sure you know that story, right? I don't need to elaborate. So when he got through talking to Pharaoh, because after these two people had the dreams, Joseph interpreted, and then when Pharaoh had also a dream, this one of the baker that he interpreted his dream said that, okay, when you talk to Pharaoh, just mention my name. But this baker person, one of the person that he interpreted that dream, I think there is a dementia because he forgot Joseph. He forgot Joseph for almost 2 years. Then he only remembered Joseph when Pharaoh said that, I had a dream, but I don't know what does it means. Oh, you know, I know somebody. It was in the prison. He can interpret your dream. So, to tell the story short, Joseph faced Pharaoh. When Joseph explained that famine was coming after 7 years of abundant bounty, he advised Pharaoh to prepare by storing food from the years of plenty. In response, the ruler promoted him to a second in command over all Egypt. he was in charge in administering all those riches of Pharaoh. And Joseph ready for such a responsibility. He had used its difficulties in his life as an opportunity to develop himself into a wiser, godlier person. Yes, brothers and sisters, again, in every hardship or crisis in our life, there is an opportunity, and we need to grab that opportunity because it doesn't take long. Right? It doesn't take long. I believe God uses some challenges to strengthen our relationship with Him and prepares us for the challenges that lies ahead. You remember the story of Esther? When difficulties comes into her life with the fellow Jews, she said, "If I perish, I perish." When difficulties of crisis come, it is time where our faith gets tested and time to run towards God. Because trust that God is working everything in your life for our own good, according to Romans 8:28. God is in control. He can control everything. And Adonai has set up His throne in His kingdom, rules over us. If you are in a difficult situation, trust God. He will do something. Focus on God instead of difficulties in life. In 2 Corinthians 4:18 said, "So we fix our eyes on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." All of us have faced road bumps in life. If we find ourselves focused on the difficulties in the pain of what is happening into our lives, God's love is unconditional. God always taking care of us. In other words, we must believe. Don't focus on our adversaries. Focus on God's possibilities. Because true faith is keeping eyes on God. When the world around you is falling apart, instead of thinking about difficulties, we need to learn to give it to Yeshua and meditate upon His word. Let us draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to us. Joseph faced every trial with a humble heart that was willing to grow and learn. In our Torah portion today, if we view the story of Joseph as a prophetic picture of Israel, destined encounter with their Messiah, Yeshua, we can predict that just as Joseph ordered everyone out of the room before revealing himself to his brothers, Yeshua will also be alone with his Jewish brethren when he chooses to reveal himself as Messiah. Why? Because we can really be intimate with someone while others are watching. Yeshua isn't angry with his Jewish brethren rejecting him, betraying him, selling him out of silver, even for crucifying him. He was longing to be reconciled with them and to have an intimate relationship with him. Yeshua wants to make himself known to his brethren and to reestablish a close, personal, intimate relationship with him, as well as Joseph. In Genesis 50, verse 20, he said, "Yes, you yourselves plan evil against me. God planned it for good in order to bring what is this day to preserve the lives of many people, Joseph said to his brother, "Do not be grieved or angry with yourself, because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." Again, our Torah portion today contains the dramatic reunion of Joseph and his brothers. Perhaps that last one is the most straightforward to answer. He wants to see if they have changed. You know, the purpose why he put the cap on Benjamin's sacks, to know if his brother changed. That's the last testing that he gave to his brother. What a moment that must have been. Joseph, over all the years of his suffering and difficulty, had learned how to forgive, how to release the accumulated bitterness of the years, how to reconcile with those who had wronged him, how to treat his brother with respect, didn't deserve. But in the last chapter, Joseph made one of the greatest statements of compassion you will find anywhere in the Bible. And here's what he said: "Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant all of this for evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order bring it about this day to save many people alive. Therefore, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and he spoke kindly to them. As a challenge, my brothers and sisters, are you facing a difficulties in your life today? If so, the Lord wants to turn it into an awesome opportunity for you to develop new skills, strengthen your character, and draw you closer to Him. If you obey God and leave all the consequences to Him, He will confirm you to the image of His Son and use all situation for your ultimate blessing. Sometimes our initial response to difficulty, we're so anger. But remember, God loves us. Your circumstances, remember this, your circumstances don't create who you are. Your circumstances don't create who you are. Your circumstances don't define you as a person, because it wasn't about your circumstances. It was about your heart. It was about our walk with God. It's about our character. Did you notice what is said about Joseph when he was in a terrible situation? God twice says, "The Lord was with him." The Lord was with him, and the Lord is with us too. Shall we pray? Father, in the mighty name of Yeshua, I just want to thank you and want to say how grateful we are that you have planned for each one of us in such a fashion that you have the best for us. And I pray that Ruach HaKodesh will speak to every single person in our congregation at this time. Heavenly Father, help us to look all those opportunities that you've given unto us. Because those opportunities, Lord, we know that it's not take too long. Heavenly Father, let your word be always in our heart. In Yeshua's name, O God, we ask all these things. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.